is a question that's posed to Christians in every age, to the whole of the church, and to us as individual believers. Who do you say that I am? What I wanted to do today, because the scriptures today in this proper that is given to us, this pattern of lessons that's given to us in year A on this Sunday, is particularly illustrative of how Christians interpret scripture. And so that's where I really want us to go today, because as you all know, according to John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the creation was spoken into being through the Word, and then the Word became flesh. You may think that this is the only age in which there's a lot of confusion in the church and in the world, but I just want you to know that's not so. Indeed, I want to tell you about a man who wanted to follow Jesus, and who in the year 144 AD, that was a long time ago, left home, which was a town called Synagoge, in the Roman province of Pontus, which is a Mediterranean area in what's present-day Turkey. His name was Marcion, and he went to Rome, and he wanted to preach the gospel as he understood it, and he wanted to answer the question, who do you say that I am? And he got it all wrong. He was indeed one of the first to be condemned for heresy, for getting it all wrong, for not answering the question right. Who was this Marcion? He was the son of the Bishop of Pontus. Really interesting. We know in Scripture that we see deacons and we see bishops. We're not so sure about priests, but obviously there was a bishop in Pontus in Asia Minor in the very early part of the second century AD. In any case, what Marcion proposed was one of the very first folks to say, here are the books that ought to be included in Scripture. And what he said was, an abridged form of the Gospel of Luke and 10 of Paul's letter. That's it. He completely denied the Old Testament because he said the God represented in the Old Testament is nothing like the God in the New Testament. You ever heard that from contemporaries? That's Marcionism, and it's a heresy. That's what the church has said over the years. Those who condemned Marcion included Justin Martyr, who died in the year 165, Irenaeus, a contemporary who died in the year 202, and the great African Tertullian, who died again early in the third century. The God of the Old Testament, Marcion, does not seem to be at all like the God of the New Testament. And that means that Jesus didn't come to be the Christ. The Christ is the Greek word, which translates the Hebrew word, which we get as Messiah. So he's not the Messiah. He didn't come to fulfill anything about the Old Testament. He came as a God who's just a God of love and seems so discontinuous with the God who we hear about in the Old Testament. What was it that the early Christians understood, and why did they reject Marcion? And today's scripture readings are as clear an example as we have, though you have to have some understanding beneath it, which is why I've gone in this direction. I could have described Caesarea Philippi, which Frank and Karen can describe anytime, and those of you who've been there can tell you what Caesarea Philippi and why Jesus went there to do this thing, this pagan place, to ask who he was. But the lessons today illustrate for us how Christians interpret Scripture and how they understand the God of the Old Testament and New Testament, exactly the same God, and that the whole of the Old Testament points to Jesus, who comes and reveals himself and reveals God fully in the New Testament. In today's gospel, Peter is answering in the classic way. You are the Christ. You're the fulfillment of all the promises we have. I mean, the New Testament hasn't been written yet. But Jesus, you're the one who's the answer to everything that was hoped for and looked for in the Old Testament. Then today's epistle, and the last 3 weeks, today and the two previous weeks, we've been hearing readings from Romans 9 through 11. That's the end of the teaching section of Paul's letter to the Romans, and it's all about Paul describing what he calls a mystery. He says at the beginning of today's passage in Romans 11:25, lest you be wise in your own sight, lest you think that you've got it right because, you know, because the Christians are responding to Jesus, but the Jews weren't. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. What Paul is saying is, I mean, it's a mystery. Why didn't the Jews immediately respond to Jesus as their Savior, as their Messiah? Well, I mean, what the disciples saw, what Peter saw. And what Paul is saying is because God actually wants to save everybody who will respond to him, and the fact that the Jews have not responded to Christ right now means that the Gentiles are responding, and they'll come in, and when they've all come in, then the Jews will be brought in. That's what chapters 9 through 11 of Romans are about. It's about how you understand the Old Testament in relationship to the New Testament. Because Paul says later on in today's lesson, he says it throughout chapters 9 through 11, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be taken back. Or as we sang in the refrain of the psalm today, your love is eternal. Okay? If he's given his love to his chosen people, he's not going to take it away. But they're not responding right now. You interpret the Old Testament in terms of what's happening in the New Testament. Indeed, the lesson from Isaiah is a series of promises that the prophet makes about God's salvation. He says God's love for Israel, he says in that passage that we heard from the Old Testament, my salvation will be forever. So his calling of the chosen people is forever. It can't be taken back, and they're not left out. Any who will eventually, Paul uses the image of grafting onto an olive, regrafted into the same tree that we've been grafted in, which are the roots of the Old Testament, that they'll all who will turn will be saved. The church very early rejected Marcion, who was saying, no, these are the God of the New Testament is a completely different God from the God of the Old Testament. They rejected Marcion because the Old Testament points to the New, and the New Testament gives us a way to understand the Old. Scripture's canon, which eventually is completely decided in the 4th century, that's the same century that gives us the Nicene Creed, which we are about to say, when all of these disputes and understandings kind of get fixed in a way that the church holds from then until now. In the 4th century, that's the same year, same century as the Constantinian settlement and the allowance for Christians to be free and to practice their faith. The 4th century says there are 39 books in the Old Testament, there are 27 books in the New, quite a different canon than Marcion's abbreviated Luke and and his 10 letters of Paul. And some of you will be familiar, you know, students of American history, of Mr. Jefferson's Bible, 1819, 1820, in which he takes a razor and copies of the scripture, and he cuts out every miracle and every sign of the supernatural, and he just leaves all the stuff that's easy to believe. This isn't a new phenomenon. But the church long ago said, no. Take the whole of the Old Testament and take the whole of the New Testament. The church has said, this is the canon of Scripture. And they sing together. And together you'll understand both who Jesus is, what he came to do, and how we're supposed to believe. Now, one final kind of thing I want to say about how we interpret the Old Testament, how we understand it. As a result, at least at one level, of what Marcion did to say that these are incompatible and inconsistent, the way in which the church has read the Old Testament ever since the first recorded records of lectionaries, on Sunday, you always read the Old Testament. The passage that's read is always a prefiguring of the gospel reading that day. So the way you read Isaiah is not straight through, but when you're talking about the birth of the Savior, you read Isaiah, who speaks of a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You read that in relationship to the call to Mary. And from Isaiah, the suffering servant passages, they're read during Lent. Again, what this one who will save, who will lay down his life for the people, those verses are read in connection with Lent when we talk about Jesus' the sufferings. You understand the Old Testament in the way in which it always points to the New. And when you read it in church, you always use a passage of the Old Testament that helps you to see that the Old Testament's pointing to Jesus. Okay, now why does this matter? Because there's still a lot of temptation to just, to not take the church's wisdom in some of these things, and we've got a better idea. In the lectionary that's used in the 2019 Book of Common Prayer, it was a lectionary called the Common Lectionary. It was developed in 1969 as a result of the Second Vatican Council, a great reforming council of the Catholic Church, from which all of the Protestant world also took some things, and the whole church in the world moved together. The Common Lecture of 1969 does exactly what readings of Scripture in church on Sunday always did. It's not the same as the daily office, the reading of Scripture, where you read Scripture seriatim, but you, on Sundays, always read the Old Testament and how that particular passage points to Jesus in the New Testament. The Common Lectionary did that. In 1992, folks had a better idea, and they decided in what was called the Revised Common Lectionary that the best way to read the Old Testament, the most authentic way to read the Old Testament, would be to just read the books in, straight through. I mean, you know, isn't it a distortion of the Old Testament when you take passages out and show how they point to the New Testament? I mean, why not just take the books on their own? And before too long, you're down the Marcionite road where the Old Testament is something really different and really doesn't have anything to do with the New Testament. Anyway, when we put together the 2019 Book of Common Prayer, we said, Common Lectionary got right, just like the church throughout the ages has got right. You want to understand who do you say that I am? If you want to understand that I'm the Christ, I'm the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises, then you'll read the Old Testament in a way in which its types, its stories, always point you to Jesus. They always point you to the fulfillment of all that God has promised. And Paul, as we think about our relationships with our Jewish brothers and sisters, he says their hearts have been hardened for a season, but in time they'll return when they see God's mercy to the Gentiles, likes of us, and they'll also come to see Jesus is the Messiah, the one who's promised. Who do you say that I am? The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of a living God. That's who Jesus is. That's what our faith says. Jesus is finally the interpreter of all that has been and the promise of all that will be. Amen.